Hello and welcome to Donkey Votes. Hi James, how's it going?
Hey, hi, good, good Brian.
Yeah?
Very, very good.
Yeah, I see from your Instagram story last night. Surprised you didn't take over the Donkey Votes Instagram story, but anyway, on your own personal Instagram story, you're at Morrissey last night.
Yeah, I was, but I mean, I wasn't aware we had an Instagram for Donkey Votes, so maybe I'll start doing stories off that instead.
So what was it like?
Good, very good. Voice held up well. I was only saying to Conor Dunphy there, that, you know, when you go to these guys that as they get older and it's a bit sad because their voice doesn't do it anymore. Morrissey wasn't like that. His voice was powerful, very.
Yeah, his really voice good. Though is fairly effortless. Like he kind of talks, sings, if you know what I mean. But it is singing.
Not sure I fully agree with that, but
no.
Yeah, okay. No. I think
he's a talking singer.
I think he's a singing singer.
Well, I think he sings as if he's talking, but it's actually coming across as singing.
We'll just have to disagree or agree to disagree.
So then, yeah. I went to see him in 2004, the first December I was in college.
You know, I remember that, so that's why I actually texted you to ask whether it would work going. But anyway, go on.
Oh right, okay, right. Yeah, I went to it, and back then I remember he did something that I hadn't seen anyone else do, but he played the same song twice. So he played There Is a Light That Never Goes Out in the middle of the set. And then when he came out for his encore, he did one or two tracks. And then he played There Is a Light That Never Goes Out again.
Wow, did he forget he played the first time or something?
No, well, I think maybe it was just, I don't know. I'm glad he did it because it's a great song. It's the type of song that I could listen to a couple of times. What did he do for your encore?
Irish Blood, English Heart. Very appropriate, you know?
Oh, yeah. Really, really got Jimmy worked up, did it?
Yeah, like your man from the Rubber Bandits. Very worked up. No, he's from around here. His parents, rather, are from around here. And apparently he goes up to the Thomas House to drink.
He does go there, yeah. And I've seen photos of him pulling pints in there.
Yeah, should have gone up, but...
Yeah. So last episode we had our friend... Ross Barry Granger.
Yes, he's a real.
We're really milking that whole episode.
We are. It's really got the fans going wild. Ross is in Israel at the moment, and he had just in case you were any doubt about what kind of man Ross is. He had his Bible confiscated. He had his Bible confiscated when he was trying to go into the Al-Aqsa Mosque. So, first of all, it was news to me that he carries around a Bible. and then it just makes me laugh so much that the Muslims took it off him when he's trying to go into the mosque. It's just a real series of very funny incidents.
Did he? He must have been rightly worked up as well.
I would say he was upset with them confiscating his Bible, and I think he's got some problem with calling it a Bible as well. He wants to call it something else, like a good book or something. So he's not well.
We'll leave that conversation for another day. But
I'm only joking. He's perfectly well. He's just you know.
No, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about Ross in Israel.
Yeah, the really really good adventure, I think.
We should have got him take over the Instagram stories for that whole journey. Where do you want to talk? What do you want to talk about first, Jim? We talk about what's going on in Ireland. PTSD on my morning. So whenever I wake up in the morning, I stick on RT Radio 1, so I'm getting the afternoon. Kind of, you know, the latter end of morning in Ireland. Just before Joe Duffy comes on, whatever that is.
That's Sean O'Rourke, I think.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, he's good.
I hear. What's our finance minister's name? Pascal.
That is Pascal with the lisp. Yeah.
Pascal Donoghue.
Yep.
And he was on talking about permanent TSB and some loan book that they're going to sell. So give us the lowdown.
Yeah. So they've got a loan. They loaned out the book, as they say, is a collection of loans. worth 3.7 billion at least. That's the face value. That's the, you know, what at the time what it was loaned at. Now it's going to be worth a lot less than that because.
So what are they? Are they like mortgage loans, business
mortgage loans? Yeah, the vast majority of them, 75% of them are private home loans. So,
okay.
So
in Ireland.
In Ireland, yeah.
Okay.
So the situation with most of these people is that they basically stopped interacting with PTSB, at least according to the bank. We don't know, but the bank said that most of these people haven't made any contact with the bank, basically ignored the bank for over 3 years, some for more than that. And they're coming under pressure from the European Central Bank, which regulates all our banks. They want them basically to get those bad loans off of their books because they have to, basically you have to put aside, the rules mean you have to put aside money, capital to deal with those loans. And that means that it's harder for you to lend because you got to put aside capital to maybe sort of compensate for those losses. So what they want is to get them, sell them at a loss, get them off your books. And clean up and start behaving like a normal bank. So this is what permanent TSB are trying to do. And it's generating controversy because they're worried that the people that buy the loan book, so-called bolster funds, will be aggressive with the borrowers and basically will kick them out of their homes. Now, it's the greatest. So Fianna Fáil have gone and drawn up legislation so that the funds will be regulated, will need basically a banking license in effect to operate, which is very, very difficult to get. And it'll basically be a way of ensuring they don't enter the market. Now, in theory, that sounds great, but actually it's more dishonest politics, really, because as under the current rules, if a borrower's loan is bought by a fund or by anybody else, the borrower's rights are exactly the same. They remain the very same as if the bank still owned them. So they still can't be treated any differently than under the law than they would be if the bank held onto their loan. So what this is basically a way of just trying to it's basically a cosmetic change because the borrower situation isn't going to be affected one way or another because the protections are exactly the same. What it does do, it means that it'll narrow the pool of people looking to come in because if you're a fund, right, and you're like, oh, I'll buy these loans in Ireland, they're cheap. But then they say, oh, no, you've got to go and get a banking license. It's very hard to get a banking license. You've got to do all kinds. You've got to submit like masses of documentation. And they're just not going to bother. Which means that, you know, like we own the bank, the taxpayer. We own, 75% of it. And we need to be in a situation where we don't own it. It's not good for taxpayers to own it. So we need the bank to be healthy. And part of that health is getting rid of these loans, get them off the loan book, get them off the bank's balance sheet. And what they're doing is just going to frustrate this to no actual immediate benefit for the borrower, you know? So it's more intellectual dishonesty, really. It's just trying to capitalize. It's just Fianna Fáil trying to make themselves seem
like they're fighting for the people.
Exactly.
And exactly. Sorry, how much did you say that this loan book is worth?
It's worth 3.7 billion.
And how many individual people will or businesses does make up that amount?
How many borrowers are there?
Yeah.
I don't know. I would expect there will be, I expect it'll be about maybe 15,000 borrowers, about that.
And do they know who they are? You know, when like...
Yeah, of course they know who they are. They took out the loan. They decided to put their fingers in their ears. If the bank is to be believed, they decided to ignore
and for all, the bank. All 15,000 of them apparently have not had any correspondence with the bank in 3 years.
They didn't say all, but they said the vast majority.
Maybe they have the wrong email address.
Well, yeah, or maybe they've moved house. And
so can they essentially just like sling them out of their houses, or they can't do that? Is there protection?
So yeah, there are protections, but you can't. Basically, in Ireland, there's no country in the world, I don't think, where you're better protected as a borrower.
Okay.
It's up to the county registrar in each courthouse to decide on a repossession order. And they're very, very slow to do it. Extremely slow. Like, and the whole hysteria about this is total bullshit. Like, absolute bullshit. It's basically impossible to get kicked out of your home. You need to really, really be trying almost. You need to be, you know, not making any effort. Like, county registrars have done up payment plans for people to repay like €100 a month. You know, that has happened. Like, they'll do anything to protect you. So.
Okay, gotcha. All right, so what's the next step? Is it, it's just going to go ahead? Pascal Donoghue seemed to be on the side of that. Yeah, we need to sell this loan book.
Yeah, it's sort of hard to for him to explain. But so,
or well, not that he's endorsing selling it, but he's just saying there's nothing that we can do about it because it's a bank. But then the retort to that was that, well, you know, you surely as finance minister for a bank that we own 75%, the government owns 75% of, that you have a say.
That is the retort, but
he knows. Have a say. He knows that they just need to get them off the books, isn't it?
He knows, and that's what the regulator is insisting upon.
All right.
And yeah, that's really it. It's a nothing. It's a straw man argument, and it's wasting a lot of time.
All right. So if you've got a PTSB loan and you listen to Donkey Votes, pay it.
Pay it back.
Yeah.
By the way, Brian, there is actually, this is a point we should make. It's not a popular one, but in all of this,
you should make.
Well, you can agree or you can disagree. I don't know, but it's a point I feel should be made. In all of this argument, nobody is ever talking about any personal responsibility of a borrower. I don't know about you, but if I went out and I borrowed, I don't know, 50,000, 100,000, 200,000, I would pay it back because that's what you're supposed to do. That's a normal interaction. I wouldn't go, okay, I might fall on hard times, and in which case I would go to the bank and try and do a deal. I wouldn't ignore them. If you have to take responsibility for your actions as an adult. If you're going to borrow that type of money, you have to basically plan. There might be a situation where I might lose my job, and what can I do? Now, the bank has a joint responsibility. And by the way, the bank will take a big loss in selling on your loan. So it's not like they're getting away scot-free. Mm. But personal responsibility gets completely lost. No one on the radio will ever have the balls to come up and say, but actually, these people borrowed too much money. They shouldn't have done it, and they're gonna have to take responsibility for it and pay it back. You'll never hear that.
Yeah. Well. Okay. Maybe I do agree with you. You know, I would if you'd no morals and you just said, "Sure, feck it. I'll just borrow and see what happens. And if I can't pay it back, I can't pay it back." That's not right, Jim.
It ain't right.
It's not fair on the rest of us.
But yeah, we fucking own the thing, you know. that's the worst part. Like, we own the bloody bank. Like, and we're on the hook for it. We're the ones who had to recapitalize it with our own tax money.
Right. Anyway, of PTSB.
Enough of that.
So we may have a presidential election this year, Jim. Well, it is.
Well, it'll be. I don't think anyone. So Michael Lee is.
So what's the deal? It's a 7-year term, yeah, correct.
Yeah,
and you can do two of them successively.
Correct.
And our current president is Michael D. Is that correct? Yeah,
that is correct.
So, what's the story then? He's gonna, and this is the year for where his term of office ends. Is it?
It is. It's going to be an election this year. And he has been, see, before the last election, Michael Lee said that he only wanted one term. And everybody suspected over the past year or so that he actually wanted more than one term. Now he's basically told people privately, yeah, I want that other term, which really suits everybody perfectly, because running a presidential election is very, very expensive, and there's no real great benefit for it from a political party perspective. I mean, the president is a ceremonial role and outside of the day-to-day politics, so it's not of enormous political benefit, and it costs a bloody fortune. So Fine Gael have been like discouraging anybody from running against him, because what is important is a general election, which is going to be coming in the next probably year or so, maybe 18 months, and that's where they want to put the resources. And similarly, Fianna Fáil will take a similar view that the money should be spent in a general election, which is when you get to real actual power.
Is so, Michael D Fine Gael?
Michael D is Labour.
All right, okay.
But he's almost above politics now. He's this terrific little fella that everybody loves. So there's one independent senator called Gerard Crockwell, who says he has the support of 20 members of the Oireachtas, which is the number you need to get on the presidential ballot paper. So he'll run, maybe, if what he's saying is true, but he'll be trounced by Michael D.
Okay,
and there might be some other curious characters who end up running. There's some talk of Joe Brolly running.
I've heard that.
Yeah.
And no celebrity candidates like Dana or Sean Gallagher. Would you count him as celebrity?
Poor old Sean. Yeah, I wouldn't. No, I wouldn't count him as a celebrity. I think Joe Brolly would be a celebrity. I think Joe Brolly could do very well.
Yeah.
Actually, because big around the GA and goes around to. Did we talk about this before? He goes around to like GA clubhouses.
Yeah, we talked about this before.
Country,
yeah.
And does it for free. So.
Yeah, my worry about that is, you know, him being a bit out there. Does the president visit anyone on St. Patrick's Day? No, it's just a Taoiseach goes to the White House.
It's the cabinet, I think, yeah.
Yeah, okay. So we got, is Leo heading to the White House this year?
He certainly is.
Do you think he's going to do anything controversial?
Give like Enda did, where he gave that lovely speech about Ireland being the poor wretched immigrants.
Yeah.
Who knows? I don't know. He probably will say something, make some kind of statement. I think he'll invite Trump to Ireland though as well. That's the done thing. So.
Yeah. All right. Well, watch the space. Yeah. Something's been whipped up in government buildings.
What do you mean?
I'm sure they're whipping up a right old plan to make the headlines when Leo gets over to
the White House. Yeah, that communication, that wide Atlantic way man, whatever his name is, Yeah.
He's going to come at it with a whole new angle. Watch this space.
Yeah.
So I've been hearing lots about Brexit and the Good Friday Agreement. Is it storm in a teacup or what's the crack here?
Yeah, I think it is a little bit, to be honest. I think a lot of people are saying, so the Brexit thing, in all honesty, what we're really concerned about is not an outbreak of hostilities along the border if the odd customs guard or postman has to be there. That could happen, right? It could happen that maybe someone in South Armagh will attack a customs guard, and that would be bad. But I think, honestly, our main concern is that if Northern Ireland and the UK break away and they, you know, start importing like beef from Argentina and places like that. At the moment, you see, because they're in the EU, big tariffs on that beef coming through. So like Irish beef is obviously huge in the UK and Northern Ireland and all of our dairy produce, as you know, and everything like that. So what we're really concerned about, the truth be told, is that if they diverge significantly from our regulations. So that's why, if you remember, there was a lot of fanfare around us saying there will be no regulatory divergence between Southern and Northern Ireland. What the explanation for that was that ensured there'd be no hard border. But the reason, the real reason is economics, like everything else. We don't want them decimating our export market by completely having different regulations which enable them to import cheaper dairy products and meat and all of that from South America and other places, which would undercut us, be much cheaper and so on. So the Good Friday stuff, I don't really buy it. I don't really see it as a... I mean, it's, yes, the European Union is a guarantor of that agreement, but I don't really think that Brexit is going to herald the end of that.
Okay. Okay, cool. So, headlines, but nothing to worry about. That's what we've got to talk about.
Headlines, but nothing to... I mean, but Brexit is something to worry about. That that will be a big problem if they do go ahead and have a totally different trading arrangement, which means that they do get better, they source better markets to get meat, and our, you know, our agricultural produce is not wanted as much. That's a big problem. But I would say this about Brexit. I mean, people talking about the UK, so they're leaving the European Union, and people are saying, well, they should stay as close to the European Union as possible. I don't think that makes any sense, you know, but staying in the single market or staying in the customs union. If they're going to leave, they should leave and leave properly and actually take advantage of some of the benefits that might accrue from leaving. In other words...
Like what?
Well, like strike, be able to... If they stay in the what's called the customs union.
Mm-hmm.
On that basis, they can't actually go and strike their own trade deals.
Like where?
So if they say with Australia, so they've been talking about, well, we want to do more with the Commonwealth. They want to do a free trade agreement with Australia. They couldn't actually do that because they'd be bound by the rules of the EU Customs Union, which means that their goods have to conform to EU norms.
Okay.
And that means that unless the EU strikes this trade agreement with Australia, they can't. So one of the benefits which could accrue from them leaving is this ability to strike free trade agreements. And
sounds like a Ross Barry Granger benefit.
Well, I think I explained it better than he did, but I think it's not going to be beneficial for them. Ross is an economic nihilist. He doesn't really care about economics. He just cares about ideas, about sovereignty and so on. I think one potential economic benefit of them leaving is that ability. And if they stay close to the EU, it means that they are subject to rules for which they have no say in, because they've left the EU, they're not at the table making an agreement. And basically, it takes away most of the benefits or potential benefits from leaving the EU. So a lot of the argument just doesn't make any, some of the noise really doesn't make any sense to me coming out of it. Yeah, so you know, they have been able to form a government there in Germany, and eventually, after
no,
trying...
No, I don't know that, to be honest.
Oh, okay, well, you know, okay, well, Angela Merkel, you know, who's been around for ages, forever,
yeah.
Her party didn't win a majority, an outright majority, so they tried to form a coalition with the Greens and another party. It didn't work out. So now they're going for a grand coalition, which is equivalent to like Fianna Fáil, Fine Gael, say the two biggest parties going for it. but this, what always happens in a coalition is that the smallest party suffers electorally. And it happened already after the last coalition, the SPD suffered. So their members are very reluctant to enter coalition again. So what's happening now is that they've made an agreement, but it's going to the members. And a lot of them have been, a lot of new people have joined the party, similar to what happened in the UK, where a lot of young people signed up to Momentum, this campaign, and Jeremy Corbyn ended up being the leader. So basically what's going to happen is they might reject the coalition agreement, and that would mean ultimately the end of Angela Merkel's career if that happens, which is a big deal because she's been the only constant in European politics, whatever it was, 2007, I think. She's been around that long, so it'll be a big deal. That's one thing to look out for. The Germans, who love the idea of being stable, well, maybe not so stable after all.
Right, well, we'll wrap up there then.
Let's do it.
Until next time, we'll sign off from here, Jim.
All right, Brian.
Take it easy.
Enjoy New York. I know you're going there tomorrow.
Yeah, I'll take over Donkey Vote's Instagram story account for that.
Sounds good. Cheers.
Cheers. Bye-bye.
Good night. Bye.